These lectures are part of the Great Courses series. They are produced by the Teaching Company. These lectures are titled Great Ancient Civilizations of Asia Minor, Part 2. Lecture 13, The Hellenization of Asia Minor.
In this lecture, I'm going to deal with the Hellenization of Asia Minor, and that's following up on the implications from the last lecture, where I discussed the impact of Alexander's conquests and the creation of the various Hellenistic kingdoms that came in the wake of the death of Alexander. And this lecture also opens up a group of six lectures in which we'll discuss the impact of not only Greek civilization, but soon the Roman political, military, and administrative impact. And this, in some ways, is the classic age of Asia Minor. So we'll be starting here with a Hellenistic civilization, which means Greek-like, as opposed to Hellenic, which means Greek. And I reserve Hellenic to describe the civilization before Alexander. And we're now dealing in an era where it's a dominant Greek world, but there are other elements that are incorporated, assimilated into this Near Eastern civilization after Alexander's death. And that Hellenistic civilization continues under Roman rule. And in some ways, the Roman emperors are presiding over a very Hellenistic world and its culture and its arts, even though that politically now Rome is the dominant power. Just to remind you about where we were in the last lecture, I mentioned that the Macedonian kings, and then in time these native Iranian or Anatolian dynasts who styled themselves as Greeks and as kings, they all believed that they had to secure the legitimacy and the willingness of Greek cities throughout the peninsula of Asia Minor. There were a number of reasons for this, some of them quite practical. A good example is in the case of Demetrius Poliarcetes, perhaps the most dashing of Alexander's successors, who made the mistake of besieging the great city of Rhodes on the island of Rhodes in 304-303 BC. The city defied him. He went into a long siege, and as a result, the siege was, well, it was abortive, and it cost Demetrius ultimately his throne. So all of these Macedonian kings wished to comport themselves as benefactors, as protectors, and as I mentioned, the Greek cities would hail them, in effect, as kings of, not as kings, as gods, as benefactors, founders is a common word, that is, they refounded the city. They were heroes, they were in the company of the gods. In the course of negotiating these exchanges, I mentioned that Greek cities took certain precautions to secure their freedom and their autonomy in this period. And this comes in a variety of ways. One is the sheer physical evidence we have, and that is massive walls, these polygonal walls that surround Hellenistic cities. In some ways, the Hellenistic age was the climax of city fortifications. The city of Assos, which I had mentioned in an earlier lecture, a small city in the Troad, that is in northwestern Turkey today, where there's this marvelous temple to Athena in the Doric order, Assos equipped herself with impressive walls that still survive, complete with towers, with curtain walls, a variety of fortifications that would discourage any attacker. The walls probably could not prevent a Macedonian king from capturing the city if he really chose to do so, but it certainly would discourage the king. And if various cities, and many of these cities at Heraklion, at Metropolis, at Ephesus, they all equipped themselves with such walls, and that would discourage the king from trying to take every city in East Greece. So that was one way to protect yourself. Another was the movement towards larger political organizations. This took certain forms. One of the common ways of doing this was what is known as a synoikism, that is, smaller towns and cities consolidated into a single larger city, which would have all the civic buildings of a Greek city, as well as having the resources to build those walls. This is extremely well documented, a city called Aphrodisias, which is in southwestern Turkey today. It's an American excavation and is affectionately known by most archaeologists as Sculpture City. More sculpture has come out of that excavation than anywhere in the Mediterranean world. Here again, a group of Carian towns, villages, coalesced into a single Greek-style polis, probably at the end of the 2nd century B.C. And by the 1st century B.C., the city took off in its architecture and its civic life.